Every Mother's Day, I get to this point where I'm praying and just trying to figure out what God wants me to share on Mother's Day. It's a challenge. It really is. If you look throughout Scripture, there are some incredible verses about Mother's Day, not just Mother's Day, but about moms and about parenting and about kids and how we're to raise our kids. And you know, you look at Proverbs 31, it talks about what a godly woman looks like. And all these things, and it's the same verses every year that people preach on, right? You hear the same stories, just maybe different, you know, versions of the same stories in Scripture. And I felt today like I need to talk about something totally different. And so today I'm going to be actually in 1 Peter. Let me pull up the text. It's 1 Peter, verse 4 is my main text today, or chapter 4 is where I'm going to be today. And because we're such a small church, and because we're a family, I know all of you pretty well, I think. I've gotten to know you guys, I love you guys, and I know your stories. I know a lot of things that all of you have gone through. I know that several in here don't have your mom this year to celebrate Mother's Day.
That's temporary.
That's temporary is right. Absolutely. And I know that some of you have had a really rough relationship with your mom. And I know some of you have a rough relationship with your children. And so today I want to talk about those specific topics, and I want us to be real, okay? I don't want to just paint this glorious picture about what motherhood's like, because it's rough, it's ugly, it can be dirty. But at the same time, it's honoring. It's honoring. You know, I know that being a mom is a very difficult job. We all have kids that can be ungrateful at times. We all have kids that demand our attention, they fight, they don't appreciate things we've done for them. And I have good news, and some of you that have adult children can testify to this, that at some point in life they do recognize some of the things you did do for them. Not always. Not always. I still get things thrown at me, right, Laura? You in there somewhere?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
The guilty parenting pulling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not always a joyful occasion on Mother's Day. In fact, we know that one of our moms isn't here today because of some difficulty she's going through. You know, there's times where... Is that you, Jenny? That's Laura's phone, isn't it? It's on the couch. Is that your phone, Laura?
Yes.
That's my phone ringing. It's on my motherhood.
That's funny. At least the volume's on. So, you know, we all, if we're real about today, some of you may be struggling. I know that for me, I've shared my story many times that I was adopted. And I didn't learn that I was adopted until I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And so, you know, I always knew there was something different about me when compared to my brothers and sisters. And I could never figure it out until one day my brother was being a jerk and said something very mean to me, and that's how I found out I was adopted. He did. He got in a little bit of trouble. and of course, I felt betrayed because they've kept this from me. I didn't know. And of course, my mom was thinking, he's not going to understand at this age. So I'm going to wait till he gets to the right age where I can explain this to him. And so I found out that way through my brother being a jerk. I love my brother, but man, we had some times.
But looking back now, aren't you grateful that they loved you enough to take you in?
Absolutely, Roy. And that's the thing. Back then, I really struggled with it. I was like, who's my mom? Why did she give me away? Did she not love me? I mean, all those things that go through a child's mind, right? And, you know, do I have brothers and sisters? Why is my mom going to come back and find me someday? And so I went through all those challenges. And then, you know, then I have kids, and their mom decides to leave the picture. And so in a way, I can relate to what they're going through, but in the same way, I can't, because I did have a mother figure in my life my whole life, and they didn't. And so I understand some of the challenges some of you might be facing and how difficult it can be. And at the same time, for those of you that are mothers, you are to be honored today. It is a thankless job. It is a difficult job. You know, in a sense, my kids would kind of tease me, and they would say Happy Mother's Day to me because I raised them most of their lives. And so I was mom and dad to them. And so I get it. I mean, I've been through a lot of the same things that some of you single moms go through, where you go to the store and you have three monkeys in a cart, and you just want to get out of that store so badly. It's like, oh my gosh, this is hell. That's right. If they only had online ordering. I'll never forget thinking I lost a child in the store before. What kind of panic that was. Oh my gosh. Come to find out they're hanging out in the clothes rack somewhere playing games. Yeah, that was totally you, Laura. So, I get it. It's a difficult job. Difficult. Now, regardless of what's happened between you and your mom, what's happened between you and maybe your children, there's a verse that I want to share with you today. It's 1 Peter 4:8. And I love this verse. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? Well, I had to learn to love my mom that gave me up as a child. I had to realize that, you know what? She's a human being. I have no idea what kind of trials she went through in her life. I have no idea what her life was like growing up. Maybe she was in an abusive household. Maybe things just went really wrong in their household, and this was an escape for her to get pregnant, and hopefully she was going to marry some guy and run off. And it obviously didn't happen that way. And then I have to think about how difficult that must have been for her to give away a child. What a challenge that could have been for her. And so all this time I was focused on my issues and me. It's like, wait a minute, what do I have to complain about? God has blessed me immensely. And then I had to learn that love overcomes all of these things. And I remember it was in my 30s that God really spoke to me about an issue I was having with my biological mother that I didn't even realize. All these years, I had this resentment towards her. And I remember praying because I felt like there was some type of shackle on me. There was some type of thing that was preventing me from moving forward in my spiritual walk. And you know what it was? It was unforgiveness. It was unforgiveness. And I'll never forget when I took the time to just say, man, God, you're right. This is something that's been bottled up inside of me for years that I've never dealt with. And God reminded me that she was a fallen human being just like me. She made mistakes just like I made mistakes. And so I remember just saying, Father, I turn this to you. I forgive her completely. I pray blessings over her life. I pray that her life, that she would know that I turned out fine. And at that point, it's like that spiritual block just lifted. It lifted. And I felt so much closer to God at that point. Now, some of you may be in the same shoes. You may be holding some grudges against your mom. I don't know. I know some of your stories. I know that your relationship with your mom hasn't been great, right? And, you know, Cindy and I were watching this series called Bible Health Secrets Revealed. Anytime they say Bible secrets, I get a little hesitant. But this was actually really good. And what's that?
They weren't really secrets.
No, they weren't secrets at all. It's called Bible Health Secrets, or Health Secrets of the Bible. Health. It was about mental, spiritual, and physical health. And, you know, as you know, I've made a lot of big changes in my life to get healthier. And I really felt God take me back to the Bible to look at that as we've been, you know, studying nutrition and things. And I'm telling you, the Bible speaks a lot of truth. I mean, I posted accidentally to a group post, but I had to have a physical done this week, and my blood pressure was lower than it's ever been, and I'm not on any medications. I used to be on blood pressure medications for years, and just by changing my diet, it's improved drastically. And so I go back in the Bible. I follow the principles in the Bible on health. Now, why I say that is in this series, it also talks about mental health. And in this mental health, one of the things that I learned that, of course, Ashley's known because of her psychology training, that there's something that psychologists call an ACE, A-C-E. And what that is it's an adverse childhood experience. Adverse childhood experience. Maybe some of you have heard of this. And what I've come to learn is that the more ACEs you have growing up, the more likely you're going to have dysfunction in your life. And so what are some of the ACEs they talk about? So I looked this up on Psychology Today. And what they said is that an ACE can cause a lifetime of misfortunes. And it's frequently passed through to succeeding generations. Generational curses. We all heard of that before?
Yep.
So ACEs include such things as emotional and physical neglect. It talks about an ACE being abuse, whether it be physical, emotional, or sexual. It talks about an ACE can occur when there's domestic violence in the home. An ACE can occur when there's mental disorders in the home. When there's substance abuse in the home, when there's parental separation or divorce in the home, or when family members are incarcerated, all these things they consider ACEs. And the more ACEs you have, the more trouble you could possibly have as an adult. And so I started thinking about that, and I go, our moms that were dysfunctional in our life most likely had a bunch of those ACEs against them. When we take the title mom off and call it a human being, we need to recognize that our moms might have been going through a lot of stuff as a child, and that stuff carried over. And I started really pondering that, going, you know what? We need to give some grace. We need to give some grace. Now, my mom, my adopted mom, was a wonderful mother, teacher. She raised us well. We were brought up in church. She was very loving to us. But I had dysfunction still in my life, and I couldn't figure out what that was. And I'm like, all right, so she raised me a certain way. My brothers and sisters are one way, but I'm a different way. Why is that?
Genetics
play into that. And what I've also learned is that some of the things that have happened in my past generations have probably passed on to me spiritually. And so I could either accept that and say, well, this is just how I am. This is who I am. Blood pressure is one of those, by the way. All the doctors kept saying, well, it must be hereditary. You'll probably just have this the rest of your life. You're just going to have to take medicine. And I couldn't accept that. I'm like, no doctor is going to tell me. God is going to be the final spokesperson in this. And so I began to change things in my life, both physically and spiritually. And I'll tell you what, I feel better than I felt in a very long time. And I didn't have to accept those things from the past and say, this is who I am. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm not the old person. I am a new person. And so if your mother might have grown up in that situation, if there was strife in her home, if there were things that went on and now you're seeing it in your life, I want you to take heart to that this is all your mom might have known. This is all she might have known. This might be the situation she's in because of her past. And so is 1 Peter so eloquently said, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So if you want spiritual breakthroughs in your life and you are struggling with resentment against your mother, I encourage you to forgive her today, just as Christ has forgiven you. It will set you free. It doesn't mean that the things that happened in your past are okay. It doesn't mean that those things weren't hurtful. But what it does mean is that you don't have to hold on to that anymore. You don't have to let that define you. You don't have to live your life according to those principles. You can live your life according to God's principles. And those things can change instantly. Now, I want to talk about those of you that might have kids that are rebellious, that are hurtful, that are just not appreciative of you as a mom. I know that that's happened in this room. And one thing that tends to happen is those moms feel guilty. Moms tend to blame themselves for the way their children turn out. So do dads. And you know what? When kids become adults, they have choices that they have to make at that point in time. They can either choose to be bitter and rebellious and hateful, or just like you who've come out of a bad situation have had to forgive your past, those kids are going to have to learn to forgive too and move on if they want to be healthy. And it's not you can't carry that guilt with you the rest of your life. We have to learn to make our own decisions as adults. And yes, there are things that probably we've all done. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes parenting. Laura can tell you that. Parenting is so challenging. And I know that it's deep in my heart. I've asked them for forgiveness for the things I've done. And that's all I can do. God is bigger than all of these problems. And love overcomes a multitude of sins. And so you can just love them. You can forgive them. But at some point, they're going to have to make decisions in their life. And you have no power over that. You have to accept the decisions they make and move on, even if you don't like them. If you're struggling with that guilt, if you're struggling with, you want your kids to be a certain way, you got to let it go. You got to turn it over to God. Because God is the only one that can help change these hearts. You still love them. You still care about them. But you don't want to empower them to continue to make bad choices. You're going to have to just say, it's time for you to deal as an adult. I am blessed because I've learned to walk in forgiveness. If any of you are in that place where you're just holding on to grudges against people, it is a dark road. I've been on that road. And I didn't really feel spiritual freedom until I was able to let that go. And I'm telling you, a lot of people go, well, I'm holding on to this because I deserve justice.
That doesn't mean you're always going to
You are. You're wasting your life away on it. Christ said, or it says in the Bible, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was the ultimate act of forgiveness. And if Christ forgave me, who am I to hold a grudge against somebody else? The Bible says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God, for we have all sinned. And so that is a dark road. You're not hurting anybody by holding a grudge. And God is the God of justice. Those things don't go unseen by Him. And so if we trust His justice and we trust His love, let's just turn it over to the Lord today. Say, Father, forgive them as You have forgiven me. I forgive them as You have forgiven me. And I'll tell you what, there will be spiritual breakthroughs in your life like you've never experienced. There will be peace in your heart like you've never experienced. So if you're dealing with chaos and insanity and crazy stuff in your life, you want to find that true internal peace, let those things go. Turn them to God. Say, I forgive them, Father. I trust You with this. I'm going to forgive them and I'm walking free. And God will do some amazing things in your life when that happens. I've seen prayers hindered. I've seen people hit roadblocks in their spiritual walk. I've seen demonic oppression for that one reason. Jesus was very clear that we have to forgive. And when you do, man, that's when the Holy Spirit will really do a work in your life. Now, for those that don't have their mom to celebrate with today, the Bible's very clear that one day we're going to be caught up with Christ in heaven. It is it's hard to go through life. I've seen my kids without a mom. I know that it's a real comfort for women to be able to call mom when they're dealing with stuff and get mom's advice. So for you other women in here, you can help each other in this area. You know, the Bible tells us that one of us, we find it here.
But it's like having an army. It's like a soldier has to stand in the gap to keep you safe.
Yeah.
Outside, so isn't that the same?
It is. Romans 12:15, and this is in the event, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. As a body of Christ, that's what we're called to do, is to be there for each other. You have spiritual mothers in this room. I know it's not the same, but they are there to comfort and mourn with you when you mourn and rejoice when you rejoice. And it's up to you to go to that person and share with that person. You know, many times we try to do everything on our own, to be strong, to be tough. But I'll tell you what that tells me is that there's a wound that you're not dealing with. Nobody in this room that I know is here to judge anybody. We're all here to help each other, right? That's what a family does. We're here to encourage and to build each other up and to strengthen each other. And you know who I relied on when the girls didn't have a mom, and who they relied on? Their grandmother. Sometimes it was my sister. There were some questions that I didn't know how to answer, by the way.
Well, in a long time, God put you in a place where you were able to meet Cindy, and now she's standing in the gap.
And she's an awesome, awesome woman of God. She is so good. I'll never forget the time where Laura hit a certain age. And Laura, you're going to turn red. And she needed her first bra.
Oh, no.
The look on my face was like, oh, my Lord, what do I do? So I called every woman I knew and said, I need help. Luckily, my sister or my mom, one of the two, I think it was my sister, took Laura shopping, and oh, my gosh. So we all need people in our lives. If your mom's not here today, I mourn with you. I'm sorry. I know that someday it's going to be me. But what's important is we have each other still. And we need to learn to depend on each other and encourage each other and speak truth into each other's lives with love. And so I don't want today to be a day of mourning for you. There is so much that we can rejoice about.
Just be happy that if you don't have her here, know that she's paid the ultimate price, but she's got the ultimate gift.
Amen. Amen.
I wonder if my mother's there, though.
That's a challenge for some. That's a real challenge. You know, and it's you can make that change today, right? You can be there. And, you know, don't let your kids go through life wondering, I wonder if my mom's in heaven. You guys know the Lord. That's a gift. My kids know where I'm going. That's a gift. And use this time wisely. There are many young women that we come in touch with that don't have moms. They don't have parents. And you guys can be the parent to those people.
Well, and that's the other issue, is when you're having trouble with your own children, doesn't mean you can't be support for somebody else.
That's right, Brian. Mm-hmm. That is so true. There are many programs around us that need people that can be a role model. I mean, we are in a generation of single parents that are struggling. And they have to work two jobs, and so they can't invest anything in their kids. And their kids grew up in this school system that we're all so happy with, right? And that becomes mom to them, their teachers. Where did you hear about Wicca, Laura?
School.
School. Right? You want to use sign language?
I don't think
you're entire
life.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, I mean, my daughter had a child in high school, and they just pump them up, give them a class, and give them child care when they come back to school. They set them up on WIC and all this help. And it's like, well, why wouldn't 50 other teenagers get pregnant? They get all this attention and help and support from the government. And before, I mean, it's like, it actually encourages, the way that it was in Garland, it encouraged girls to get pregnant. Because it's like, well, the government pays for it, why not?
Well, that's what teach the age I do, the early young kids. A lot of people can't teach that grade. It's too hard. But you have to.
You
it takes a special person, one. And yeah. Two, I can invest so much into so many kids and give them that foundation they may not get anywhere else.
Yeah. It's true. You lost your wife and yelling at them, didn't you?
Yeah.
And it's just, it was very disturbing at that time. Yeah. I was like, I can't believe I was catered. Because when I was in high school, you got sent home. You homeschooled. You didn't get to go to school. You figured it out on your own.
You know, the Bible's been tossed out. You know, we've totally misunderstood the concept of separation of church and state.
That wasn't a letter. That wasn't actually the law.
And, well, the concept was that the state wasn't to interfere in the church.
Right.
But it didn't mean that the church couldn't be part of the state.
Right.
And so you have a lot of misunderstandings of what that was about. And so you throw the Bible out, you throw God out, and then what happens is God's moral compass, God's moral system is no longer in play, so we make up our own morals. And that's what we live by man-made morals instead of what God said was good. And so you end up accepting things that before we would have never accepted.
Well, because at that point you start accepting what people say is okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, Olivia was swimming, and this little long-haired person came up out of the water. Hey, you want to play with me, little girl? And she did, and herself, our boy? That's what she did. And like, my mother, a boy or a girl? I assume it's a boy with no shirt on.
Oh, my goodness.
And she goes, hey, little girl, you want to play with me? And he didn't have a shirt, our boy? She was our eyes were like.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a day where you get to choose what gender you are. I'm sorry.
Oh,
for
God.
That's. I want to choose what color I am. All right. So the whole moral of what I'm getting across here, guys, is I know there's despair in some of your hearts today. I know that there are challenges with your moms, with your kids. But you are all parents, and I want to celebrate and honor you. I know it's a tough job. And I want to encourage you today that you don't have to continue on in the pattern that you saw growing up. You have the power to change that. You have the power of God on your side. Generational curses can be broken. You don't have to live in that. And I'm telling you right now that forgiveness is the key to all of it. Forgiveness is the key to all of it. I have learned that. You offend me, I forgive you. It's that simple for me nowadays. You're not going to, yeah, I might get a little upset, but I am going to forgive you. Anybody have any last thoughts, comments?
Thanks, Brandon.
Sure.
My Bible cross-references 1 Peter 4:8, mm-hmm. and specifically the love
chapter.
Love covers a multitude of sins with Proverbs 10:12.
Okay.
It says, hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses.
Amen.
I think that really speaks to that exactly thing. Well, you can't always get that.
Man, admitting you're wrong.
You can't get that anymore. But that's the two ways that a bad history can affect you. And the outcome of either one.
Mm-hmm.
It just really clarifies that if you choose to allow it to build hatred, it creates conflict.
You're right.
If you choose to allow it to, if you choose to rise above that with love, then it covers the offenses.
Amen. That's good. Thanks for pointing that out, man. You know, it's true. And going to what you said, Kim, a lot of times people won't apologize. If they don't live by God's moral code, hey, I have a right to do this. I have a right to offend you. I have a right to do what I want to do. And so, you know what? God tells me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. Because if I don't, it's hurting myself. It's hurting myself, pure and simple. And I know that Christ died while I was still a sinner. I've offended a lot of people in my life. I've done a lot of wrong things. I've done a lot of stupid things. I know I've put my mother through hell many times. And she still loves me. And I know I've put God through that too, by being rebellious against Him and doing things that He would not want me to do. And yet He still forgave me. He still forgave me. And that's what we have to keep in mind here, is that this world is ending. This world is not here forever. You're not here forever. And so how do you want to use your time here? And you want your life to reflect that of Christ. And if you do, that's what Christ did. People that nailed Him to the cross, they didn't say, Christ, forgive me. While I was being nailed, He said, forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they do. So, let me go ahead and pray, guys. Go ahead.